that got the man up into space. And part of my presentation today, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, is to talk about what hasn't been done, whereas I hear the good work that has been started, it's still not enough, but I'm going to stick to my strip here. We haven't seen real equity rolled out, and from the understanding of this was supposed to be, I guess, internal for the city and not for the community, so I'm learning that as well today. But I want to speak to the issue of real equity not being met, specifically within the communities of color and African Americans. If we look at the Urban League's state of Black Portland and Black Oregon, we're at the bottom. It's unfortunate to see a whole community, which we would say stolen, lost, and desperate impact severely, I would say really ripped off, being redlined to an area, displaced and gentrified out. I don't want to be too critical, but it must be cited that this doesn't make any sense. When you see 30 years of police brutality, Black people under siege, being refugeed in their own city and country through strategies that have been implemented and displaced an entire urban Black center. What we need, which this city has never addressed, is to be valued as Black people, and that we have ability to make contributions and that we're human beings. When we haven't seen economic stability come to our families and community over the last 35 years, that's what would help us to actually maintain our neighborhoods, our homes, and provide adequately for ourselves and family. Mayor, you talked about bringing forth employment and careers to the city. Employment and careers with real wages, paying for equal work. That's what we need in communities of color. Secondly, we have made a significant contribution to this city and region that has never truly been honored, only marginally, which we are totally marginalized all the time. I would like to ask council for a memorial for the 1,200 Black people who've been murdered since 1980 up to this present time. I'm asking that Alberta Park be renamed Memorial Park, or, as our president has said, Frederick Douglass is being recognized more and more. Maybe we should name the park the Frederick Douglass Park or Sojourner Truth Park, in memory of young men and women who were murdered through homicidal violence because of the war on drugs, through poverty. That is something, as of today, 1 year ago, I asked of Mayor Hales and this city council, was to acknowledge the loss of 1,200 Black people. That hasn't happened in any other city in this state but in Portland, Oregon. That's really painful. I have a rendition of the artwork that I would like to see commissioned by the city for this memorial to be placed in the park, as well as doing a proclamation in memorial and renaming the park. Thank you.
Thank you. Either of you can start.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Rand Fies, Giannettino Viatoro, resident here in Portland, and also a Bureau Advisory Committee member for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I'm here to testify, one, in support of a funding increase for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I think many have demonstrated today the importance and need for equity being a priority in the times that we're talking about rapid development in the city of Portland, as well as a rapid increase in gentrification. It's very clear that the city, as a steward for the tax dollars, for many of the residents, that it's very important to ensure that those dollars are spent responsibly to ensure that everyone is represented and ensure that those tax dollars are used, whether it's construction projects or developing new businesses, that communities of color are benefiting, as they're clearly at this moment most impacted. And I think the office has done a tremendous job in centering equity within the city. And I think that's an important vehicle to continue to build. I also want to testify on the annual report. I believe it's my civic responsibility to provide support as well as critiques on the report. I believe that the Equity 101 trainings are great, but I do want to say, as I'm wrapping up here, that the five-year racial equity plan is a great step forward as well. I do find concerns, I've heard a lot of community support around community benefit agreements. I do not see that reflected in this report. I've seen the report around human resources talking about addressing collective bargaining agreements as an impediment towards racial equity. But I feel like there have been many stakeholders that have come together with some unions to talk about addressing true racial equity, to try to work with HR and OEHR, and that just has not happened. And there was discussions from previous years, and I encourage the council members, as well as the Office of Equity and Human Rights, to really come together, stakeholders, not to see the collective bargaining agreement as impediment, but how we can ensure that agreements can ensure that everyone has a fair process, that everyone has, that there is real true pipelines from communities to get jobs here at the city, and to ensure that people are clear that they have a clear, transparent process in terms of how they get wage increases, as well as how they are promoted. And I think the biggest thing that impacts morality is when those processes aren't clear. And I think that goes, that extends to folks who are not covered under the collective bargaining agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry to be rushing people. I just don't want to lose commissioners before
Vote
to accept the report.
I'm going to be short, brief. My name is Dana Coffey, and I'm with the Portland Commission on Disability. First of all, I want to thank Dante and his hardworking staff for their leadership and all their efforts on our behalf, on behalf of the disability community. And I'd like to lead with a quote from one of our founding commissioners that says, "Disability is the last frontier in equity." And I believe that can be underscored by a recent city survey result that shows that only 2% of city employees are courageous enough to identify as having disabilities, and that there is no stated goals or considerations for persons with disabilities on the contractor and subcontractor so none. To the end of promoting and driving positive change for persons with disabilities, our commission will be meeting with each and every one of you commissioners within this month to advocate for budget to staff, increase staffing at BHR and OEHR so that the shortfalls and gaps as outlined in the recent in Title I and Title II ADA requirements are met at the city so that it can be universally accessible and an equitable employer.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Are Angel Chesimet, Stephen Nakana, and Georgina Narte.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, would you like to start?
Sure. Where's the mic? Oh.
There you go. Right, buddy.
I am excited to be here, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Angel Chesimet. I am a part of the Portland Commission on Disability. I'm very proud of all the work that Dante and the Office of Equity and Human Rights has done. I just want to say that it's really unfortunate in our society today that marginalized groups have to fight their way to the table. Specifically, people with disabilities. We are often not invited or added on as an afterthought. You have supported the Office of Equity and Inclusion, the Office of Equity and Human Rights to pass the Model Employer Plan. I would like to ask you to take this opportunity to take action and pass or support the budget for the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and specifically the ADA Title II coordinator, who will be a person that will ensure equity for our community, specifically our community of people with disabilities. And one last thing I would like to point out, every person in this room at some point in your life, disability will touch you. So just remember that as you go forward in your day. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Dr. Stephen Akana. I'm the Social Equity Program Manager for the Port of Portland, and I'm here to support the initiative that Dante and his team are running. In fact, the Port of Portland Social Equity Program is adapting its vision from Dante's team's strategy that they've implemented, and we're looking at them as a partner, and they've been very accessible to us in designing our own program. So I think this work is beginning, and there's a lot of partnerships that they're creating, and we're very impressed with the work that are done, and I personally encourage you to support, to increase the resources that they need. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is there a Georgina Narte from Africa House? Okay, we'll go with Ashika Bharati, Samira Elmi, and Marota Gary Smith.
Was there anybody else whose name was called who's here?
I believe I heard
that. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to testify who hasn't signed up? Okay, you get the final word.
That might not be a good thing. Good afternoon, Commissioner and Mayor Wheeler. My name is Marietta Gary Smith, and I am the daughter of Sharon Gary Smith, and I am the granddaughter of Bobby Geary and Frederick Douglass Geary. I'm a second-generation Portlandite and a native Oregonian, and I'm here to express my support and deep appreciation for the Office of Equity and Human Rights and to really... I want to make sure that I speak clearly, but also very clearly state what I need to say. So in light of what's happened in our recent election, I have chosen to remain silent about a lot of things. And that's because as a person of color and as a woman of color, my identity has always been less than or othered by those who are in places of power. And that includes being a native and a resident of this city. So in a lot of ways, and I'm not speaking about you all because I don't know you all that way, but in a lot of ways, I am not supposed to be here at all. I am not supposed to be educated. I'm not supposed to be articulate. I'm not supposed to be doing any of the things that I'm doing with my life. I should not have degrees. I should not own my home. I should not be able to make decisions about my body and reproductive justice. I should not be able to have health care and make decisions about the ways in which I want to access health care. I shouldn't be able to have the rights to do these things simply because I am labeled other by those who are in power within a culture of whiteness, or if we're looking at a dominant understanding of how things are run, right? And so the Office of Equity and Human Rights allows this city to actually actionably allyship with other folks. What I mean is that it's not just about talk and words, it's about actual due process and end result, something that is tangible. So people have something that they can look and see that is real and in real time. And so for me, it's important to have this conversation, but I really want to urge you to figure out how you want to leave your footprint here. We have an opportunity here in Portland to move out of the shadow of the history of this city, right? So we have an opportunity to really do some good work. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging, and it's going to be ugly. Equity work is not pretty. It's never been pretty because you have to deal with the ugliness around what happens when we're talking about power and structural, institutional, and systemic racism and other isms that impact so many people. And so when we're talking about that, it's not going to be comfortable and it's not going to be nice. And so if we want to get ahead of Seattle, which is always sometimes a good thing, if we want to get ahead of Seattle, that means we actually have to do some work. And so that means you have to commit money. And when we talk about money, that's also uncomfortable because people don't want to talk about money, especially when we're talking about government. And I'm a former government employee with Multnomah County Health Department. I'm no longer there. But I saw in my 6.5, almost 7 years there, the struggle that people went through to talk about money and equity as it related to how people had end results for what they wanted for their lives. And Portland has an opportunity to really step out and do something significant and be a leader in all of the ways that people look at Oregon and look at this city for leadership and progress and progressive thought and movement. And so I encourage you to actually look at the ugliness of the situation and figure out what side you want to fall on and determine if you want to be someone who's going to decide that it doesn't matter, that you can be comfortable about your decision and go home and go to bed at night and feel okay, or actually realize that the people who elected you to this position trust and give you the space to make decisions that will, in the end, value their life as much as you value your own. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. So at this point, we have opportunities for further questions for Mr. James, or at this point, I'll also entertain a motion in a second to accept the report.
Mayor, I move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Further discussion? Mr. James, was there an end cap you wanted to put on this?
I think it was just done, so I'd say no. Thank you.
Done and done eloquently. Please call the roll, Carla.
Fritz.
5 years. And it really does feel like it's going to continue going at this point. I think it was a question 5 years ago. Thank you, Nancy, for your involvement. For those of you who, and maybe some at home, are wondering how this came to be, it was the 2009 State of Black Oregon report showing that for African Americans, over the last 17 years, things have got worse rather than better. And then following that, the Coalition of Communities of Color came out with a report saying there was similar evidence in 6 different communities. And I remember going upstairs into Mayor Adams's office and saying, well, we're not just going to put this on a shelf, right? We're going to do something about this. And he agreed that, yes, we should do something. And then he announced it at the State of the City address, and everybody was kind of looking around at each other, wondering what exactly that something might be. What we did was we established what we called, what Sam called the Creation Committee, which is a bit grandiose, but on the other hand, it really did need a very deep delve. I think there were 32 stakeholders on it. It was referenced that this is the only equity office in the country, I believe, that also looks at disability and needs to honor Nyla McCarthy, who was insistent that this was a group that needed to be have attention. And Commissioner Saltzman, you're right, there are many other groups that also suffer disparities. These were the two that we, the Creation Committee and the Council at that time, thought knew were the ones that we absolutely had to concentrate on the most. And over the last 5 years, I've learned so much as evidence that that was the right decision. And now we're looking at what are the next 5 years going to be, or certainly the next 4 years. Dante and I might seem like we disagree as far as the equity managers in the bureaus and the equity staff that he's requesting in his office, but actually we don't. Only the police bureau got extra funding for their police equity manager position. The others were told by their commissioners, find it within your existing resources, and so they did. But Dante has actually got a very small office, so to tell him, within your resources, go out and check on all the 26 bureaus, seeing how they're doing, that's totally not happening. So the way you framed it at the beginning in terms of, yes, there's a budget person within parks, there's a human resources expert within parks, but there are also centralized folks who both guide them and tell them when they've done things right or not. So I think that's what you're talking about, and I would certainly support that initiative. I'd also have to say, Dante, that you've been Portlandized, that you now recognize the
value of community engagement. And Mr. McFerrin is certainly not somebody to sugarcoat things if he didn't really value your work in the community. So I'm glad that we've won you over and that you are part of the Portland process. And it continues to be a very difficult process, as we heard from the testimony. We're not where we need to be at all. We have made progress, and we need to celebrate that. But with so much ground to make up, and I was afraid when we were starting it that if this didn't work this time, we could just forget it for the next 50 years, because so many people of color in the community were so disillusioned and just, you know, we've done this 20 times over, we're not going to go through it again. It's taken us 5 years to even start building those bridges and showing, as well as talking about things, that we really do need to work together. And I think now, more than ever, with what's happening at the national level, we do need to see what can we agree on. And certainly the Portland values are the values that are evidenced by the Office of Equity and Human Rights. As Ms. Mariana Gary-Smith said, we want due process and end results. It has to be tangible. We have to have outcomes that are better than the ones before. And it is hard to turn the ship of state. It's not like a jet boat that you can just swirl around. It takes a while to make it move, but we're all going to have to put our shoulders to it and help it to move. We can't fail, and it's so important. So thank you very much, and thank you, colleagues, for all of your support over the years. Aye.
Dr. James, thank you for an excellent report, and I was proud to be on the council that launched this experiment, and I'm glad it's still moving forward and that you are still leading this effort. 75 years ago, a president signed an executive order that over time, history will record, was a terrible mistake, targeting people based on who they were and questioning the loyalty of Japanese Americans. 75 years later, we have a new president that is signing similar executive orders. And we are living in a time where people are being targeted because of their faith, because of where they live, and because of their status. It's unbelievable that 75 years later, we have not made more progress. And as Commissioner Fritz alluded to, sort of the dark clouds at the national level, it's all the more important that we get it right locally. We can control what we do locally. Apparently, we have very little control right now over what's happening in Washington. So the report, I think, is thorough and clear, and I'm a big fan of Jeff Selby's work, and he does all your reports. And he also spoke the other night at an event the mayor and Commissioner Fritz and I attended, where 1,000 people came out to the Muslim Educational Trust, and he got up and gave a brilliant speech. But here's my commitment. I do believe we need to support the ADA Title II coordinator position and the implementation of our model employer. And that's not just because we have a bad habit on this council of signing on to things and not funding them. It's because we've declared this a core value of reducing barriers in our community. And the way we do it is we have the staff people to help us get it right. So I will be supporting the budget ask. Number two, I want to celebrate something that's not referenced in here, but we have some folks in the room who participated, and that is the work that Commissioner Fritz and I and others were able to do around converting single stall restrooms to all user restrooms. And that you know, on the scale of things, is not the pinnacle of civil rights, but it did prompt near revolutions in North Carolina and Houston. And here in Portland, people shrugged. And in fact, we're going to go to the next phase of this soon, where we're going to be challenging the business community to model the actions of local government, and we're getting great support. The report has a reference to some barriers we continue to face in extending programs from the city to people, particularly people who are low income from communities of color, refugees and immigrants. And the one that jumps out at me is the program that provides low income discounts to people who are struggling to pay the utility bills. And I appreciate the collaboration on that, and we hope to get that right. And we'll have more to say this year before council when we bring something forward. The work of providing opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities is critically important. Seattle is ahead of us, but we're about to catch up. And this cannot happen without a number of bureaus and a lot of people working together. The Water Bureau is proud to be in a position where they can pilot this program and work out some of the hard details, and then we hope it goes citywide, because this, we're long overdue in providing those kinds of opportunities. And as I learned recently in a trip to Seattle, they have figured it out, and it's a win-win-win. It's just an incredible program, and it just requires will. I want to compliment you for the way you've been working with all the Bureau directors on the Bureau equity plans. I get regular feedbacks from my two directors, and you in turn have given us feedback on the plans, and you help them make them better. They are living documents, and they'll be updated regularly, but I thank you for the work. I'm grateful to Dawn for being here to present. And then just finally, we do have a lot of work to do, and I am so discouraged by some things that are going on in the world that I'm probably overcorrecting a little bit by looking for things we can celebrate locally, because we're gonna wear people out if we just look at the underbelly of everything. And it's sometimes is a little overwhelming just to listen to the news these days. The way we move forward, though, is we set goals and we celebrate wins, even small wins. And that's also how we stay together. So I'm committed to this work. I appreciate the work that you do and all the people in your bureau. And I, as Commissioner Fritz said, I'm proud that 5 years later we still have an office of equity and we're still moving forward. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Director James, and all of the staff of the Office of Equity and Human Rights for the good work you're doing. And I do appreciate all the aspects that you've become involved in over the last 5 years, although I'm very supportive, I think, of this new service role that you want to move into. I think it makes sense, and I think it's entrepreneurial. So I think that's the way to go. I obviously want to see more details in the budget and all that and how it looks, but I think that's the right approach. And thank you for your good work, and appreciate all your counsel to the bureaus that I oversee and have overseen as well. So thank you. Hi.
Happy almost anniversary. And thank you, Director James, OEHR staff, and to the public, especially Ms. Gary Smith, who, if she hadn't have identified herself, I think I would have recognized as Sharon's daughter, for the fire she brought today. I want to join the chorus of people in the room who was initially confused by the intent of OEHR as someone who cares about racial justice and someone who is the parent of a child with a significant disability. I was really excited that there was an office that we may be able to access to find out if our civil rights are being violated, and if so, what recourse do we have? So I just wanted to admit that and say that I think it's very honest confusion, and maybe we could expand our mission in that direction one day or have an outward-looking piece to it. I also am looking forward to digging into the budget and being supportive of expanding your programming. And I want to say something I've been thinking about a lot lately is that equal is not the same as equitable. And we haven't even reached equal yet if our employment stats are 21%, when we know that people of color make up about almost a third of our population, let alone equitable, which would mean making up for decades and centuries of historic oppression and discrimination. So I just want to acknowledge that it's exciting, the progress that we've made, but acknowledge that we have a long way to go. And I'm excited and a little apprehensive about looking at my bureau demographics. I've only been here 5 weeks, so give me a chance if we're lacking in that department. And I'll also be meeting with my, I guess, they're not liaisons, but my equity managers in the bureau. So, aye.
I'm obviously going to support the acceptance of the report. But I want to say something just briefly, which is that I have moved into an office upstairs that is stacked from floor to ceiling with reports. And what I have heard and what I thought was underscored by the testimony today is that people want less talk, fewer excuses, and more action. And what I'm committed to doing, and as people in this chamber are well aware, I have this ability to bumble along, and particularly if we're talking about issues of race and equity, I have the ability to colossally screw things up in the process. And that's where I think your office can be extremely helpful to me. If we can't get our act together internally, then we can't go externally. I don't think we're in a position to tell the rest of the community what they should be doing with their resources, their time, their assets, or their energy if we haven't figured out internally how to get our act together in terms of employment opportunities, advancement opportunities, putting people into positions of leadership, making sure that our contracting and procurement policies are reflective of the experience and the need that still exists out there in the community, and there's going to be nothing easy about it. And I'm compelled by what Commissioner Fish said in terms of becoming a model employer. I think we need to do that, and I'm not sure sitting here today exactly what steps 1, 2, and 3 are, but I do think we need to look at that, and I appreciate the people who came in to testify today. But I hope by accepting this report, we're taking that as a baseline of support for the work that you are doing in your office. But I think all of us would agree, and you would probably be the first to agree, Dr. James, based on the conversations that you and I have had, those actions in and of themselves are insufficient, and they're not going to move the dial the way we want to move the dial. And so I want to say publicly what I've said privately, which is I'm committed to working with you to make that happen. And perhaps we'll bumble along together, but bumble we must, because as the last person testifying said, we need to get out from under the shadow that has been haunting this community for a long, long time. And there is no time like the present to do it. So that's what we're going to do. I obviously vote aye. The report is accepted, and we'll move on from here. And it sounds like we have a commission unified and a city council unified in helping you and working with you to do that, sir. So thank you. Thanks, everybody. You testified. The report's accepted. Thank you. We're adjourned.